Well, good morning, everybody. And I tell you, it's kind of funny. Lisa's doing the tambourine now while she's singing. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? I'll keep up with Lisa's beat. That way I can help her keep in time. No, that didn't help her one bit. I should have clapped with the rest of the group. I think I was throwing it all off, and I was like, way to go, Phil. Way to go. I thought it was funny this morning. I had to get it out. Didn't have to. Wanted to. Anyways, praise the Lord. The Lord's good. The scripture, I mean, we're up here thinking about, praying and thinking about what to talk about this morning. You know, what the Lord has for us. You know, not what I have nothing. But what the Lord has for us. I tell you, it's been kind of a trialing week for me. You know what I mean? It was just going about the days. Each day, one day at a time kind of thing. And it just has been a fight for me. I mean, fight to really care. It's like, I could just sit at home and do nothing, but I need to get up and go to work and all this stuff. And I had to really labor against unbelief. I really had to labor against the want to, the diligence to serve the Lord, saying thank you, Lord, for this day. And we come in here and we come in here Thursday night, it was a praise the Lord. Nice. I don't know about you guys, but it was a praise the Lord. It went from Wednesday. This is how good the Lord is. I'm not. The Lord's awesome. The Lord's faithful. I come in here on Wednesday, I get to the work day. Praise God, got through it. And it was a good day. It was a pretty good day. Everything ran really smooth, really great. And myself just wasn't up to par, but the Lord was good there. And I come home and we have a Bible study with the girls. It was great. Briley read so much and continued on reading. Usually she's like, can I just read the 10 verses or something? And, can we go up to this point and say, read as far as, we'll see where it takes us. And she kept reading it and she kept getting it. And what we were talking about in Psalms, talking about the Lord's wondrous ways and everything, Briley started talking about Genesis and how the Lord created the heavens and the earth and had questions. And she was doing exactly that, what was commanded in 1 Psalm, and she didn't even realize it. The Lord was good that way. He showed up. In the midst of me really just feeling like a crap about myself, because I know in my heart I just want to go, oh, give up. I'm not faithful. He is. He's good. He's righteous. Not me. And the Lord's good, and we come in here on Thursday. Thursday is a rough day at work, and trying to get things back in sync. Seems things are getting off sync. Feel like we are better than what we're playing, But we come in here, and it was just the gospel message. And half of Thursday night was just singing praises to our awesome God. And that was a redemption for me. It was a boost. It was what I needed. It's like the Lord taking that load right off my shoulders, man. He's like, He knew what I needed. What's that word I'm trying to think of how it was? It's apathetic, was it? I guess the word is. Yeah. I guess that's how it was. It was just kind of running into kind of a grounding of, I don't care, that apathy. Thank you, Brad. That was a big word, Brad says. Oh, praise God. But the Lord was good. He re-strengthened me. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't have an apathetic time. It's always moving. It's always glorifying the Lord all the time. Amen. And so what do? We don't trust in this fleshly thing. That's the, I don't care. But we trust in the strength of the Lord. We trust in His Spirit. He hasn't given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That's His Spirit. And He has freely given to us if we will but just receive it. You know, the Lord's good. We don't deserve it. Just testifying, I don't deserve it, but the Lord's good. Where was I going? I guess I was wanting to go into Colossians a little bit today, but when we were singing, I was thinking about Hebrews 2. You know, I'm going to start from the beginning here, and we might veer off. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Praise God. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. You know, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? I think the word there, us, might be the apostles, and I could be wrong, but I believe that is the case. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. I mean, the Holy Spirit was on move. The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus. And that was just the case there. It was confirmed unto the holy apostles. I mean, to the apostles called by God. They seen it. They handled it. And it was backed up by power. And it pointed to Christ. When we go to the Gospels, he goes, if you don't believe me, at least believe the works that I do. They testify of me. I mean, at least believe that. You can't deny that. You know, we have the salvation of Jesus Christ. And one of the things is to take on the salvation, to take on that forgiveness, and to walk in His grace and His mercy is really just simply laying your own righteousness down, your own thing down, your own life down. And we take on His life. Our life sucks. I mean, I've proved that many times and times again. You know, but it's really just to laying everything down and take upon His life and laying yours down. You know, forgetting that it's not you that are good, that's good. You know? It's not anything that you can do to earn salvation. You know, we're all under sin. All of us. But we don't have to be bound to it, and He gave us a new life. And it's simply laying down that old, nasty life to take upon His life and walk in His righteousness. You know, that's why He died on the cross, so you can have that. So you can have that choice to walk in that. That's an awesome God. And I can share with you just this past week how faithful I was not in that. But the Lord still came down and redeemed, knew what I needed, and gave me the redemption, gave me the hope, gave me the perseverance that I needed to keep going forward. Because the Lord is good. Amen. That's an awesome God. You know, I was going to go to Colossians, and that talks about how we ought to be. But the first step we got to make, folks, is choosing Him and His righteousness and laying down our own and saying, Lord, I'm guilty. Forgive me. Cover me. I don't want this nasty life. I don't want my ways no more. I want Yours. forgive me. Come into my heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. You know, that's that first step into walking in the body of Christ. That's the entering in into the body of Christ. We were talking about fellowship last week. And that's where you stand in fellowship at. Is the Lord's good and He's blotted out all my transgressions. And I have a new life in Him. That's entering into that body. You know, well, I think I'm going to carry it down a little bit more. Where was I at? Five. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He overcame all things by the obedience to that cross. He suffered that second death that was going down to hell, and he took those keys from Satan. This is going to die. This flesh, I'm pointing to my flesh, you guys online. This is going to die. But where do you want your soul to live? Or die? Do you want it to die in hell for eternity? Or do you want it to be with Christ Jesus forever? Look, He paid the price so that we don't have to go to hell and die. And there's no excuse for us to be going there, guys. Not a one of us. Not a one of us. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause... He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. You know, he was made just like you and me. Was tempted in all temptations, just like you and I have. But he didn't fall into one of them. So we have not only a God who loves us, who created the world, created man, created all things. But we have one that has walked it out perfectly and was tempted just like as we are. Yet without sin. Thank you, Paul. That was the word of words I was looking for. You know, that's an awesome God. That means we can go to Him and say, Lord, I know You've conquered. I have not. You have. And I'm a fighting and I'm a struggling and I need Your help. Because I know You've been through this. And you know what? He understands. It's us that really don't understand. It's us that really lays down and yields to this flesh that many times we ought not. He didn't. Not at once. He did it till the pouring of blood coming out of his face. He strived against it. Not my will be done, but Lord, yours. Father, yours. Not my will be done, but yours. Did that so you didn't have to go to hell, man. And there's a part of I'm getting to on this. Where was I at? Anybody know? 15. Thank you, guys. And deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That means aid. That word succor means aid. It says here, he's merciful and faithful high priest. Jesus. He's been through it, man. He not only had the righteousness of God, man, he was God. He created all this. And we were meant to serve him. Then by one man's disobedience, sin came in the world, but God had a plan. By one man's obedience, could be taken out. Praise God. I'm glad it's not up to each and our individual own righteousness or what we have to walk and walking through this without sin. We'd be done. Quite frankly, we couldn't. We're sold under it. He was, remember, the sins passed down through the fathers. He was born of the what? Holy Spirit. Had none. That's why he was the perfect sacrifice. So he came down and did it himself and walked it out, being obedient for you. And he has that righteousness and he has that cloak for you. And it's a far better than whatever you think you have. If you still are standing on that fence. You know, if you're walking that tightrope, well, I don't want to give it all in. You know what I mean? You know, you're on that fence line. Whatever you think that you have in this world that is better than Christ, is not. It's a deception of the enemy. What's that? Can't serve God and mammon, Paul says. Double-minded. But he threw it all in there. And look, the Lord's going to work with you. He knows when you come to the Lord, you'll receive that grace, you'll receive that mercy. And you say, all right, Lord, I'm yours. Hang on, man. He's going to root some things out you. But because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because really, you don't know how much you really do hold a high in esteem that are not of God. And how much of the ways you're clinging on to. You really don't. But he doesn't blast you with all of it at one time. We'd be going, oh my goodness. No, he's a perfect high priest. And he starts doing that surgery and gets those rocks out your heart. One at a time, three at a time, whatever you need. But as he's doing that, man, you can praise the Lord all the way through it. It might be painful, but you can trust him in it more than any other doctor or mental health witch out there or whatever. Guaranteed. Huh? The Lord's perfect and it's just simply just trusting in him. You know, it's his life that we take on. I want to go to Colossians just for a little bit. I'm going to get off. I went through all that to get to that end verse there in Hebrews. I love that verse. Colossians 3. Verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Christ, which is our life. That's awesome.
We are not this.
Huh? We are not our flesh. No. Our soul's simply been bound to it for so many years. We got a lot to unlearn. So He's writing this thing to us. That's why He keeps, you know, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. That is a choice. And we want to grow in Christ, who is our life. We want that. You want to be in glory with Him when He shall appear? You want to be with Him? Then what we start doing is... You're keeping me lost track here. Well, you make those choices to set your affections on things above. That's what you do. You start choosing the Spirit. You start choosing God's life. Not your own. Not yielding yourself to this flesh. And you do it because you love the Lord. And you do it because you love His ways. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Like I said, it's not anything we do that saves us. It's what He has done for us. And us accepting that. And if we're going to be His life, if He is our life, we're going to be all about what? His business. The Father's will. That's the only thing that's going to matter. That's the only thing that saves. That's it. Let's walk in that love and that forgiveness. That mercy, that grace. Let's walk it out like we got it. Let's grab a hold on it. Not like we got it. That we do have it. Let's be an army for the Lord. Amen?
There's so many places I can go. There's so little time. I don't know. You know, when Phil's talking about reading Scripture with his kids and the Lord showing up, I wonder, do we all have expectations of that? Do we pray the Lord would open up His Word to us and show us what He's saying and reveal Himself to us in it? He most surely will and gladly and make you able to do what Phil and I do. It's easy to do. Because if you open up His Word, you read it with the expectation that He's going to show up and reveal Himself. He does. He's good. Right, Phil?
Amen.
When Jesus was talking to one of the rulers, I don't remember exactly which one, maybe all of them, but he was asked what would you say was the greatest commandment? And he said, love God and love one another, basically is what he said. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Both of those things are so not natural to us. You know, we're raised up from little ones to look out for yourself, take care of number one, you know, keep a stiff upper lip and all this, you know, walk like you belong there, and be proud of yourself. All that stuff's contrary to the nature of God. And the idea that we really bring nothing to this thing that God needs is the way he started his relationship with Abraham. It's like, God said, this guy's kind of different here. Let me start talking to him. It wasn't because, you know, Abraham had done anything to make himself worthy of being God's friend. God just committed to him, and he revealed himself to him, and after a while, Abraham believed him. And when that happened, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He still wasn't worthy, but God gave him his righteousness. And I remember many years ago, we're sitting in reading in Genesis, and we're watching how Abraham conducted his affairs and how well he got right on what God told him to do. And we shake our heads and we laugh at him and we go, man, what? How lame is that? Took all those years. And you sit back years later now and you go, you know, I can pretty well understand how it took him all that time. Look at how long it's taken me to get anything. But the kind of regard that God had for Abraham was when he was dispatching those who would eventually destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, you know, maybe we ought to go talk to Abraham about this. This is his, after all. And he did. He could have done that without talking to Abraham, but he didn't. He did it first. And in our nature, it's pretty easy to justify ourselves in love, both for God and for one another. But the standard we use to justify ourselves is not God's standard. It's what we've been shown in the world's standard. As we were looking at a verse not too long ago in Hebrews, and the verse was to provoke one another to love and good works. It's in Hebrews 10, I believe. And I was talking to Davey the other day, and he said something about that, and I said, yeah, that's what we do, isn't it? It is. And some of us get a lot of joy out of that provocation. Some of us do it well. But that's not our nature either. We don't like to provoke anybody. We like people to think the best of us. Because we're basically selfish. And avoid confrontation and avoid an argument. We want people to like us. Provoking one another to love and good works doesn't always look pretty, and sometimes it's loud. And sometimes it's really direct and really truthful when it's not convenient to be. And I just start out with such a simple fundamental as that. And then we were talking about in one of the Bible studies we were talking about, or here or somewhere. One of the things we do, we were talking about how good the Lord was in bringing us, commending to us what His love looked like. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, that's our hope. Because we're never going to be anything other than sinners. As long as we're dragging around this flesh, we're sinners. But God commended His love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. When Christ, who is our life, when you receive Christ, you receive His life. And that's why when He shall appear, we shall be with Him. And we will be hid in Christ with God. And we didn't deserve that, but He's good. I was thinking about in John, and Jesus starts a little back and forth with the Pharisees that was a testimony of being provoked into love and good works. And I have run this kind of conversation in both in my head and in a room around me, and it gets really loud because that's pretty much how this conversation worked. He's trying to shake the sin, the pride out of them. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Well, then we be Abraham's seed, right? "I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father." And they answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." You'd obey him. You would believe him, and you would obey him. And that belief would be reckoned to you as righteousness. And then all this religion, all this crap, all these stupid rules, all these quantifiable and measurable things of men wouldn't blind you to being able to operate in the presence and power of the Lord. But everything they contrived was a contrivance not to have to rely on the Lord. We can rely on this rule.
We can rely on ourselves to do it.
We can be special. And you can honor us because we're special. But the deeds of Abraham are simple. They're just, he believed God and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. That's the only thing that was special about Abraham. Abraham believed God. And God was good to him. And in the end, God trusted him.
And you believe him because he showed you.
That's right. Let me see if I can stir up that passage. It's such a simple passage, such a simple scripture. Let's consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We come together, we seek opportunity to provoke one another to love and good works. Love God, love one another. Sometimes that's not a very pretty operation, but it is necessary. It's how we keep banging ourselves back onto the path, kicking ourselves back into play. That's what we do to each other. And you know, this passage in Hebrews goes on to say, you know, if you forsake that, then you have taken yourself out of the body. You've taken yourself out of play. We need to remember what our love to one another is supposed to look like. And it's a love of preference. First off, you prefer the Lord. Second off, you prefer one another. And thirdly and leastly, you prefer yourself. And that is not our nature. So we have to trust in His nature. And our overcoming is believing Him and letting Him reckon it to us as righteousness. That's what Jesus purchased in His perfection, His ability to cover us in His righteousness. And when Christ, who is our life, when you receive Christ, you can receive His life. And ask Him to help you. To consider one another. To provoke unto love and good works. As often as you can get together with them. As often as you have the opportunity to. To be faithful and diligent to provoke one another to love and good works. It's what we do. It's what is fellowship. It's what it is when we do it. I'm done.